Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Chip Rosales, who is a managing partner at Rogue Marketing, which is a digital agency located in Dallas, Texas. For nearly 25 years, Chip has been uncovering what makes a brand different so that it can be memorable and standalone in the market. Today, we're going to be discussing Chip's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Chip.
Man, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
I think for a lot of people who are in the marketing realm, we see a lot of times where other disciplines actually get a lot more attention. Your accountant doesn't get fired. Your doctor doesn't get fired. A lawyer doesn't get fired. And I mean, you know, unless they really do something that's egregious or incredible, you don't get fired. But when it comes to the marketing realm, marketers generally are easily discarded. It's very fast to go find a silver bullet and try to find, you know, who's the next person who can give me, who's next up to give me a silver bullet. Mm-hmm. So what really motivates and inspires me is this idea that I want to see marketing valued. And I want to see marketing as valuable. And so we work really, really hard to show all our clients and show the marketplace at large that marketing can be something that is valuable for you and is something that should be valued inside your enterprise.
Yes, absolutely. And it's so beneficial to the client to have that long-term working relationship because at the end of the day, you guys are just going to learn the brand better and better the longer that you guys work together. So, you know, investing in that relationship is definitely, you know, a good investment.
Yeah, so true. Even the clients that we have, you know, so many of them have been with us 5-10 years. We're doing very, very different things. And it's kind of the component of our story is just how we evolve into different things. But that really does lend itself towards that. And again, this idea that we would just be seen as that valuable is really important to us.
Yeah, I love that for sure. And so tell us, how did you get into digital marketing?
Well, I certainly didn't intend to be an agency owner or to be in this realm. That's not where it went. I was expecting to be in television news. I went to the University of Texas, went to an esteemed program there, the Walter Cronkite School, back in 1994. I was going to be your listeners may know who Peter Jennings was. He's not been around for a very long time, but I thought Peter Jennings was just amazing. And I was going to be the next Peter Jennings here in the States and went to school for that. And actually did really, really well, had opportunities to do some internships in New York and had, you know, these great opportunities open up to me. And when it was time for me to graduate, I didn't really know how much money I was not going to make in that field of work. Until you become Peter Jennings, until you become the main anchor, you know, you just don't make a whole lot of money.
And you gotta pay your dues.
I was getting married and a bunch of other things. And I thought, man, this is crazy. I really can't afford to live on this. Yeah. So, And the internet wasn't really a big, humongous thing then either, right? You know, it was hard. You had to go to a library. You had to go look these things up. And it just wasn't very common for people to know what they were completely getting into. Right. So we had a college fair. I realized I needed to pivot. And there was this college fair. And they were like, we're looking for people who can communicate, people who can speak, people who can write. And we'd love for you to come and look at our business consulting practices. And so literally what I did was I pivoted over into business consulting and helped helped them be able to communicate and write, did something really boring in my realm, which was summary plan descriptions for medical benefits. And I wanted to be creative and create all these new things. And, you know, they loved the creativity, but they said this is a very legal thing and you can't really be that creative. So I found myself kind of in this tug of war where I wanted to be really adventurous and creative and use all these really great skills, but I couldn't in the realm I was at. So I left and went to a Fortune 100 company and mm-hmm. had an opportunity to work in marketing there. Rose through the ranks, had a lot of leaders who kind of protected me, let me do a whole bunch of things. And that led me to my first CMO job at a hotel company. When I was at that hotel company, it was about 2008, when mm-hmm. the whole world imploded.
Yes.
And I was let go as the CMO there, not because we had done a bad job, not because things weren't going, because the whole world just fell out from underneath of us.
Of course.
I was 27, 28, something like that. And I thought, man, I am awesome. And somebody's going to hire me. I am going to get to go someplace else big. You know, their loss is going to be great. Nobody was hiring. And so then I thought, well, maybe I'm really not that great of a marketer after all. Maybe I kind of suck at all of this. And I kind of went into a little bit of a funk. And mm-hmm. it was about that time where I was coaching soccer with a buddy. Mm-hmm. Our daughters were on a soccer team. And he said, hey, I do this thing for mailbox money, honestly. And I've taken a client about as far as I can take them. But I think you could take them really, really far. And I was like, well, that does actually, you know, that doesn't sound right because I'm actually pretty bad at this marketing thing. You know, nobody will even hire me. I'm pretty bad. He's like, no, I think you're actually pretty good at this thing. Why don't you come have breakfast with us? I'm like, no. He's like, yeah, I'm picking you up tomorrow and we're going to breakfast. We went to breakfast. 6 hours later, I had my first client. We had completely rebranded this guy. I had gotten a second wind. Everything was really, really good. And that's the start of Rogue. And so I guess
that's
for
so cool.
You know, anyone who's listening to this story, always say yes. Always say yes to those invitations, take the opportunity, take the swings and, you know, see where it lands you.
Yeah. I love that. I love that you just, you know, hung in there, you know, even though, you know, times were hard, you weren't feeling like you were in a great place, but yeah, you just persisted through and yeah, it all worked out. That's a really interesting story.
Yeah. I was pretty sure I was going to be working at Home Depot. That's the truth.
It all worked out. So talk about a little bit what it was like in those early days when you were first starting out with Rogue Marketing.
Well, I mean, in the early days, it was hard to even believe in yourself. You know, you did some of those things, relied very, very heavily on the network that I had built at all these other companies. Mm-hmm. Honestly, still do. Those networks are really, really important.
Yes.
It was easy to, you know, find projects for myself. It was harder when we tried to scale. And I did a lot of things early days. I did a lot of things just trying to make them happen. You know, I kind of started this whole podcast with the idea of accountants and lawyers. And there's a lot of accounting and lawyering kind of things that you can kind of do on your own. You can Google, you can see what you're supposed to do. But man, mm-hmm. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't like it. It was a real beat down. And so being able to get rid of those things and offboard those things was really an important pivotal opportunity for us. And then, you know, just obviously scaling and growing and wanting it to be done the way that we were wanting it to be done and finding the right people. Those were all hard things. Mm-hmm. They've gotten easier over time. In 2016, I aligned with another agency. So I have a business partner. His name's James Limstein, and he owned an agency. His story is also a similar story to mine. So putting our two agencies together was a really smart way to do that. And that was an opportunity for us to scale. And we did start scaling, and we started seeing some of that. And so I think early on, those were some of the things that we were really trying to overcome. Some of those things we solved, some of those things, they've just become bigger problems now that you're a little bit bigger, right? You're just trying to get to that next level and they become their own problems.
Interesting. So, you know, while you were scaling the agency, you know, did you hire a coach or a mentor or anything to help overcome some of those hurdles with, you know, putting like those processes in place to help scale? What were some things that you look back on that was, you know, really helpful while you were scaling?
I actually did hire a coach. That was something. It was more on personal on me, trying to make sure that I was doing the right things and coming up from that perspective. But we did look at the business. As I've gotten older and we've tried to scale it in a bigger realm, both James and I are parts of a coaching team called Vistage. And so we've had an opportunity to actually sit with other leaders like ourselves and have created our own entrepreneur, our own board, if you will, who we sound things off and we go through and we process issues, and we both have our own independent teams. So we can take things that we're thinking about independently, or what we found actually to be very successful is I will take something that I'm thinking about, he'll take the exact same thing. And it's amazing how two different groups will come up with, you know, oftentimes very different answers. And it gives us just a different realm of things to think and ponder and consider. And try. And we're real big on experimenting here. So we'll fail fast. But it's nice to have all of those experimental opportunities. And that board has definitely helped us do that. So no, I'm a big advocate of coaching. Came from Fortune 500, 100 companies. We've had that around all the time. Those organizational development teams were there. And, you know, obviously some of my best friends are kind of in that realm. And so definitely called upon them often to run things by.
That's awesome. Yes. I think it makes so much sense on just, you know, leading others who have done it, you know, they're where you want to be or strive to get towards. So it just makes sense to, you know, pick their brain, take advantage of their experience to help to just fast track the growth.
Definitely.
Okay. So, you know, how do you grow Rogue Marketing? You know, how are you bringing in more leads into the agency to grow it?
Well, I mentioned that we spend a lot on our network and we think about that, and having some of the networks we have is a really good thing, but that does only get us so far. We have done a lot of, we've taken a lot of time to kind of think about what it is that is valuable about what we do. And sometimes what we've found is that everybody wants strategy until you have to wait for it or until you have to pay for it. So what we try to do is figure out what frameworks, what things have we already come up with? What are those building blocks that we can lean on very fast so that we can get somebody further faster? And so we've made the decision, the strategic decision, to sometimes give that intellectual property away, that intellectual capital away. And one of the things that we've done is we've put together these templates and these kits. And so we'll put these out into the world as a lead magnet, if you will, and say, are you trying to, you know, differentiate yourself? Why don't you download our differentiation bundle? Do you need to think about your value proposition? Here are six tools that can help you identify that and work through those things. What we found is that people have a hard time doing it, but they want that DIY opportunity. They want to try to work through it themselves. And the ability for somebody to be able to download that thinking and those things has been a really cool way for us to be able to raise our visibility and then also get new accounts. But really, I think one of the things that we've done that's kind of clever and interesting and, you know, I think might be valuable to other agency owners who are trying to grow, we've gamified the process of no. So everybody says we want to, you know, let's fail fast and let's, you know, get out of things quickly and let's not waste time and all those kinds of things. Absolutely, we should always do that. But you know what? It's hard. It's hard for people who love their businesses as much as we do and are thinking about it and put so much energy and time into it to hear no, especially when we know that we are what they need, if you will. But what we've done is we've done this idea. We call it the road to 100 no's. And so we don't need hundreds of accounts. We need like a dozen. And so what we want to do is we set a goal out for ourselves at the beginning of the year. We're going to get to 100 no's by, you know, December 31st. And we measure that and we think through it. And so it is, what if we get a yes, amazing. But if we get a no, equally good, because we have this metric we're trying to get to, a road to 100 no's. And what we've found is that it's very hard to get to 100 no's without getting plenty of yeses along the way that help us do what we need to do. Again, we're not trying to get hundreds of accounts. There are people who are listening to your podcast who are certainly trying to get hundreds and thousands of accounts. But I do think that ability to be able to say, whether it's an affirmative or a negative, we're able to turn that all into a positive. I think that's a really good, well, we found it to be very valuable, because either way, it helps us.
Right. So when you're, you know, turning away prospective clients, you're just ensuring that the clients that you're bringing on are a really great fit for, you know, the culture and the type of work that you know that you're able to produce.
Very, 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 very needed, because it's the wrong account will certainly, you know, tank a whole bunch of progress that you've made. Absolutely.
Yes, of course. So do you guys really double down on serving a specific niche, or are you pretty broad in the industries that you'll serve?
Well, we are broad in the industries that we'll serve. So like, we don't necessarily say if you are in something, we will turn you away. But what we are looking for is somebody who's got who's definitely growth oriented, must be a growth account, somebody who's trying to grow. They've got an outcome that they want to achieve, but they have no idea how they're going to get there. They're sure that there's a way there. There's something they want to do, but they're not exactly sure how to get there. And then that they want somebody who they can have kind of have that whiteboarding and that sounding board and the ability to say, will you do more than just give me an SOW that says this is the answer? Will you actually help me think? Will you help me sit in the gray of everything that's going on? And will you actually help me get out of the gray? And if that's somebody who's out there looking for that, that's something that we found that works for us. I think the other thing that we're looking for in most cases, we like companies that have two founders. So I mentioned I have a co-business leader. We're two founders, if you will. And what we found is that when two founders are at the helm, that what they are able to do is they're able to action things quicker. They move faster.
Interesting.
Perhaps this is a growth opportunity for people who, you know, again, I know this is a growth podcast. Perhaps that's something that is people are out there thinking about it. Maybe partnering up with the right business partner is one of those stimulants to growth. Mm-hmm. Because what we found is that when one person's in charge, they're trying to get a lot of feedback from a lot of people, kind of checking all the boxes, making sure, doing a lot of things.
Yep.
When three or more are involved, now you've got a committee. People are trying to exert things, and they're trying to, you know, there's just a little bit more of a power dynamic that takes place. But when two are in there, generally they know what they're good at, and they're also not going to let things just fester and spin. They're gonna action on things.
Yeah.
So it's something that we've just recently, you know, within the last probably 18 months, have recently stumbled upon. And it's something that we're finding greater success. We get the action, and we've got a very dynamic, action-oriented group here at Rogue. I mean, even the name is Rogue. So, you know, we're trying to move fast and do some really creative things.
Yep.
And to do that, we need people who are outcome-oriented, really trying to do something big, and are able to move. Because that's the other thing. If you're the first two things, but you're not really actioning, That's where, you know, a lot of marketing teams will get in trouble.
Yes, of course. I love that you really look for, you know, those prospects, those clients who are going to be open-minded and coachable, because at the end of the day, you know, they're going to take your expertise seriously, and they're going to value your work. So yeah, it's just going to make for a stronger partnership.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So what would you say is the secret to having happy clients who are going to bring in referrals at the end of the day?
Happy clients. Well, maybe two things. One, I mentioned that we kind of like to sit in that gray area. What we want is we want to be invited to the table. We want to have a seat at the table. And so we look for people who want to let us sit at that table. But in the course of doing that, I think one of the things, I own a marketing agency. We would probably categorize ourselves as something well beyond a marketing agency. We're not really a marketing agency. We're more of a business consultancy that just, we have our toolbox just happens to be marketing tools. And so what we want to do is we want to sit in that gray area. And so the way that we make clients happy is that we help them get out of their gray area. If they're struggling with something, even if it's not, quote, traditional marketing, for example, maybe they've got people, you know, we've done a great marketing campaign. People can contact them and, you know, they call into a phone number, for example. Mm-hmm. When was the last time that people checked that phone number to see that it works? That sounds so basic and so smart. But you know what? A lot of marketing agencies won't do something like that. That's not what they're on the hook for, right?
Yeah.
What about actually having those conversations with the people who are on the other end of the line and actually talking to them, behaving like a customer, seeing how that goes. I can remember an emergency room that we were working with. Okay, it's an emergency room. So people who are calling here are not calling to chit chat, they're calling because they have an emergency. And it takes two and a half minutes for somebody to pick up the phone. Why? Because they had to go through all the call tree routings and all the things that had to take place, right? Finally get to somebody. And they go, hey, can you tell me where you're located? They don't know where they're located. This is an emergency environment. And so then they'd say, you know, we get all these leads. All these leads are coming in here and we can't convert them. What might be happening? Sitting in the gray and just being able to say, you know what? That doesn't make sense. 100 people are contacting. People are picking up the phone. They're having a conversation. Why are they not coming? Doing things like that and getting on the other end of the line and just figuring that out, shining a spotlight on an area that they may not be looking at is what Rogue does. And so the way we keep clients happy is to do those kinds of things and to really try to figure out like, oh, you need a referral company. You need to work in subscriptions. You need to X, Y, and Z, not something that necessarily we know how to do with our hands tied behind our backs. It's what we know the right questions to ask, and we know who to go and look for, and we're going to bring those people to you. Those kinds of things kind of get you the five-star review, or at least it has for us.
Yeah, I think that's so cool because so many agencies, you know, they stop at just driving the leads and they're not, you know, they don't provide that missing link for what's actually going to close the prospect, you know. And like you mentioned, it could just be something as simple as, you know, even just having someone who's answering the phone who's maybe not even well-versed in sales. You know, and maybe they just need, you know, some sales training. So yeah, just really thinking outside the box and making sure that they're taking the customer all the way to the end of the journey correctly, I think is so important.
Yeah. Making that marketing valuable and just making it valued. That's the kinds of things that we're trying to do in order to make that happen.
That's awesome. I love that. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome while you've been growing Rogue Marketing?
I think, you know, everybody kind of has these little plateaus. There's a place where you can get to, and then it's like, man, why can't I get beyond that? And then you finally do find that breakthrough, and then there's a new plateau to get around. And I think we're probably in one of those new ones where, you know, we're trying to get, you know, past your $2 million up to the next level, right? And it's hard. It's really, really hard. And the thing that's hard too is that with a team like the one that we're talking about, we really like what we do. We love sitting in these rooms. We like having those things. It's hard to not overserve. And I think that might be one of the things that we're really struggling with. How do you stay efficient and productive and valued? How do you do all those things when you're on the outside? Inside an enterprise, you kind of belong to the organization. And, you know, you may work 60, 70 hours. You may give blood, sweat, and tears. And all the things that I'm talking about might actually be your story inside that group. But it's all inside that group. It's all there. And so it makes sense. In our realm, you know, we want to do those kinds of things. And the problem is we find ourselves being so involved in it that we overserve. I would say that's probably something that we are doing that. And then in doing it, you inflate the client expectations. And I think that's where the problem becomes. The client goes, I love all of this. And then when they don't get all of that, and you have to kind of right size it, or you do something, or there's any sort of drop in it, all of a sudden that value has been diminished. But they're not necessarily willing to pay you double the price. So it's a real tightrope that we have to walk. And I think that's probably something that we're struggling with, trying to figure out the right way to do all that. And I wouldn't say we've got the answer, but something we're working through.
So it's a little bit of a combination of maybe managing client expectations and then also dealing with scope creep is where the challenges come into play.
Yeah, because I think the scope, We've got a model that allows us to kind of go down any realm a client might want to go down. Like, we're not going to pigeonhole ourselves and say, we're only going to think about, you know, SEO, or I'm only going to think about design on your website. We'll definitely be expansive. That has a positive and a negative. So to your point, that becomes a little bit of scope creep. Not so much from an SOW perspective, but then what it does do is it really hurts the client expectation, because the client sees you as a dedicated employee, knows that you work with an agency, of course, but doesn't really, those two things are held in tight tension, and it's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. No, it's a really good point you bring up. And it's something that, yeah, you just got to kind of think, put some thought into and just, I think, really manage those expectations from the start, which can definitely be challenging.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So where do you see Rogue Marketing in 5 years' time?
Well, you're probably already hearing this idea that, you know, we're a lot more than a marketing team. So I think what I kind of see us as is really home, you know, I'm getting older, we'll get older. And at some point, nobody's going to care what I think about because, you know, TikTok and whatever the next something is that comes behind it, you know, is going to be all the rage. And, you know, I'm going to care a lot less about those things. Mm-hmm. But what I don't think I'll ever care less about is just the business acumen and the management consulting kind of side. So where I think Rogue might go is with a combination of the marketing bread and butter, if you will, matched up with the management consulting side in an even bigger, you know, heavier hand, if you will. And Then maybe a third leg of that stool being something in the investment space. I'd like to be able to invest in other companies and other things that we see and do that legitimately, you know, kind of have that all in one house. Oh, you're an investment, you know, you're an investment opportunity. I have management consulting and marketing for you. Let's keep it all in the house and let's see where this goes. So I kind of see, I don't know what all of that necessarily, what that framework is necessarily called. I still think Rogue's a cool name. So kind of keeping it all together with that, but Rogue Marketing Plus, why not? Everything else has a plus, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's really exciting to work towards. And yeah, I think it makes perfect sense for a way to expand the company and grow. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but before we move on to the Fast Five, do you have any, you know, final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, two things. One, I think if we don't believe in what we do, then we're already behind the eight ball. And so I think it's really, really important that you have to believe in what you're doing. You have to believe that what you offer is really something that a client needs. And I think that belief is really, really important. The other thing I think I would say is that I'm not seeing enough of us in the marketing realm really digesting and reading. I think we need to read a whole lot more. I think we're landing in areas we're just not studying, we're not digesting, we're not becoming that voice back to the client. We're really good at the things we're really good at, and we're not reading enough. And so I think, you know, read a few books. I probably read 4 or 5 books a month, and just trying to keep myself on top of things. Listening to podcasts, if you don't love to read, another good choice like this one.
Yeah,
doing all of that kind of stuff is really, really important because I think we have to be the people who hold the knowledge. And if we do, then we get the opportunity to sit at those tables. So I think that's what I would say.
Yeah, I think that's great advice because especially in digital marketing, it just is evolving and growing at such a fast pace. So I think it's so important to just really be, you know, educating yourself, staying current with trends that are changing. So that's a really great point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are now ready to move on to the Fast Five. So I've got 5 rapid fire questions for you. So, you know, what is a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Well, it would be foolish of me to not say the book that has made the most impact on me is the Bible. So I'm a Christian and I believe in the Bible wholeheartedly. So that's the number one. In the realm of business and marketing, though, there are quite a few that I love. I like a lot of Malcolm Gladwell stuff. Outliers is one of my favorites just because of the counterintuitive approaches. So if you haven't read Outliers, I'd highly recommend that. David and Goliath was another one that I think was really good by Malcolm Gladwell. And then I would say there's a lot in the neuropersuasion area. So exactly what to say, zero effort selling. Those are some books I like, even Red Marketing. So I know I just dumped like 5 or 6 on you, but I do love to read. I think there's a lot of really good stuff out there. Those are some of my favorites.
That's great. Those are some really great recommendations. And then, so what does your morning routine look like?
I'm a very early riser, and so I could get a lot done before 9 a.m. And that's good because it's a quiet time, and you know those sunrises are absolutely beautiful. Love my porch.
Amazing.
When I wake up, there are definitely some specific newsletters that I read. So there's a news one called Morning Brew. You guys might know that one. You get a lot of emails, but there's a few that I read absolutely every day. That's one. There's a culture one that I read every single day. And then I also read a marketing one. I read Seth Godin's, you know, kind of his ramblings. He's got every day he writes something. And yes. So every day I read Seth Godin's thing. And always, you know, most of the time they hit really, really well. I've got very few that have been like, oh, you know, I don't know what Seth is thinking that day. But, you know, he'll even say, I'm just writing what I'm thinking about. And so that's a really cool thing. I read those every single day. And then, you know, I'll do some of my own personal time, you know, kind of a devotion, reading in the Bible, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And get a workout in. And then, man, I'm off to the races. So morning time's my best time, you know, but come that 2 or 3 time, like I'm ready to be thinking about something else.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. It's a great mix of, you know, you've got that exercise, you've got that quiet time, you've got that educational factor. So it sounds like a great morning routine.
Yeah. Pretty disciplined guy. And you know, those workouts are really good too, because they give you the chance to listen to the podcast or to,
very true. You know,
keep up on an Audible if that's the way you like to read.
Yep. Yep. Definitely. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Well, I mentioned that we kind of keep our clients really, really small. And so obviously every CEO that we work with, we're sitting with and we're studying and we're learning from. So I would definitely say them. On the outside though, I mentioned, you know, kind of where I want to go and the way that things that Rogue might go. There's another agency, a consulting company. It's kind of a mixture as well. Run by a guy named Michael Stick. At least I think that's how he says his name. So we watch him. I kind of watch him from afar. I don't even know who I am, but I watch him and what he's doing. He says a lot of the similar things, but he's just a whole lot further ahead. And then I've got two other people who kind of work in the venture capital space and are just really, really smart, political savvy. So I got a guy named Scott Armstrong out of Georgia who I follow, and then Michael Gall, who just one of the smartest people I've ever met, who's now actually a superintendent at a school, but has been a CEO of multiple companies. And so he's kind of found some pretty interesting ways to go there. So, you know, if they ever get the chance to listen, I'm watching you.
Awesome. I love that. And what is your favorite online tool?
Okay. Lots of cool tools out there. Cloud HQ has a whole bunch of really cool ones. Things like how to embed a video into your emails, just super easy, like one click kind of thing. They've got how to make your subject lines look cooler and things like that. So check out Cloud at HQ. Also one called Awesome Screenshot. So you know how when you want to get a screen grab and it's so hard to, you know, you want, it's way bigger than what you can actually screen grab, right? And unless you make it super small or whatever the case. Awesome Screenshot actually lets you do the entire page. It does it for you. You just say, hey, I want to do all the page. And it automatically takes entire pages of websites, entire, you know, desktop screens, et cetera. So a really cool tool that has been very useful to us in the last few months.
Yeah, absolutely. It's those little things that can just save time that are so beneficial. So yeah, that's a great tip.
Yes, yes.
Very cool. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I've had a lot of clients tell me that, you know, they don't need to see how the sausage is made, just kind of go off there and do it and, you know, bring me ideas and do those kinds of things. And I think what I've learned is that that's not really true. And so something I think I wish I had known, back in third grade, our teachers told us that we needed to show our work, show how we got to where we got. And if we're on a quest to make marketing valuable and marketing valued, they have to be able to see how that work came to be and what it entailed and what all was there. And so I think we're in an environment where things become really easy, even like those tools we were just talking about, you know, these really quick clicks and stuff. But man, all the work that had to go in to get to something that was that simple for us. Yes, highly valuable now, but there's all that work. And do I appreciate the value of that work? And so I think we need to be showing our work as marketers, as management consultant people, as business people. We've got to show our work, because if we're going to be valued and valuable, people need to see it. And they always say they don't care, but I do think they do care. I think they want to know how that's done. And so something I've seen that Maybe I'm wrong, but
it's interesting.
I think showing the work is something I wish I had caught on earlier.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting thing to bring up. So that's awesome.
Good.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Chip. It was a pleasure to have you on the show and learn about your journey of starting Rogue Marketing. So thank you again for joining me today.
Yeah, the pleasure was mine. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.